was teaching and she was listening and she was just devouring all the wonderful teachings. And so this was a place of teaching, amen. And that's why Jesus Christ came. And you think about this, there's a power to the word of Jesus Christ. There's a power to his words. It makes a difference, amen. And so it's important that he came and he left something behind for us to take. He taught it. We need to teach it, amen. I said a lot of our illustrations are going to come from John. Go back, if you will, to John chapter 7 and look at verse 40. John chapter 7 and verse 40. The Bible says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. By the way, what does a prophet do? Folks, a prophet preaches the word. They speak the word, amen. Jesus has been preaching and teaching And so some of them, when they heard him teaching, they preached, they said, this is the prophet. What were they talking about? They had been promised another prophet like unto Moses, amen? And so they said, this is the fulfillment. This is the one. He is the one that's given us the word of God. And so they're rejoicing. The Bible says, as others said, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. They're convinced. But some others said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? By the way, there's always one person to go, well, what about? Amen? And so, if you will, they were kind of doing that. The Bible says, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And folks, the Bible says, Jesus said, I didn't come to unify, I came to divide. I'm going to divide whole households. I'm going to divide whole communities. Amen? Why? Because you're going to have to take a side. Anybody here a faithful fan of a sports team? Nobody going to admit it. I'll admit it. There we go. Is it okay to change teams when your team stinks? No. I will tell you this, that I got friends of mine. Their favorite team is always the team that's winning the Super Bowl. You're like, okay, it's always good to root for the. Of course, it's easy for you, amen. Winning them all here recently, but and so to be honest with you, it's kind of frustrating. But you know what? Sports is sports. Who cares what team you root for? Mm-hmm. But folks, with Jesus Christ, it's not that way. Mm-hmm. When you hear his word, you got to pick a team. Mm-hmm. Which team do you want to be? You want on team Jesus or team not Jesus? And I'll promise you this. You have to make that choice. Every human being in this world will make that choice, amen? And so Jesus Christ came, in a sense, to give you his word so that you could pick a team, amen? And some of them were convinced, this is exactly what the Bible said. This is fulfilling. We see it. And they said, he's not going to come out of Galilee. Well, the Bible says he was going to call his son out of Nazareth. Amen. The Bible says he's going to call his son out of Egypt. By the way, Jesus isn't an Egyptian. My whole point is this, is if you want to find something to pick at, you can find something to pick at, okay? But it's very clear, he is that prophet, he is that Christ, amen? Keep reading, the Bible said this, it says in verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. It says, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. They were going to arrest him, they wanted to get rid of him, but there was just enough question in people's minds, well, you really wouldn't want to arrest Christ if he is the Christ. Amen. Okay. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have ye not brought him? Can I say this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible? The Bible says, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. I will tell you this, that the sad truth is that there's a lot of preachers out there, and there's a lot of churches out there, there's a lot of confusion out there. I think that's of the devil. Can I say this? You got the Bible for yourself. Read it for yourself. Well, there's some things I don't understand. Well, then find some man you trust to guide you. Amen. Why? Because this is what you're going to make your decision on. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came. He came to teach. And then he came to validate with his miracles. Go to John chapter 10, look at verse 37. John chapter 10 and verse 37, the Bible says this. It says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. He says, listen, if I'm not who I say I am, don't believe on me. Amen. But if I do, but if I do, though ye believe not, believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me
and I in him. Please take this the right way.
Those disbelievers, we talked about it last time I preached. Those disbelievers knew Jesus had fulfilled those miracles. They knew Lazarus had been risen from the dead. Amen. And they knew Jesus had been risen from the dead. Listen, it's hard for me not to forget this, but you got to remember that they said, we heard that he said 3 days after he died he was going to raise again. By the way, they knew what he had preached. And so they said, just so his disciples don't come and steal the body and spread the lie and make it worse, put a seal and put a guard. They said, Pontius Pilate said this. He says, you have your watch. I love it. Make it as sure as you can. Please take this right way. I think Pontius Pilate had everything he needed to be a believer.
And folks, they took and they rolled that stone. They put a lead seal. They would put a wax seal or a lead seal. I believe they put a lead seal, meaning they poured lead on this thing. And they put 16 soldiers, four at a time, standing in front of that tomb. Okay? And they took and they watched that thing. And listen, their lives were at hazard if somebody got in that tomb. Amen. Well, somebody got in the tomb. Actually, nobody got in it. Somebody got out of it. And they knew. And they said, take money and tell people that his disciples came. I'm sorry, I just got to have my moment. Big, strong soldier with his weapon. And who were his followers? Now, I'm not saying fishermen aren't tough, because they are. I don't want to get hit by one. Most of his followers were women. Many of them were. And this big, strong soldier said, well, they beat me up. And they got inside. How would you like to live with that the rest of your life? By the way, knowing. Folks, let me tell you something. The words of Jesus Christ, they are life. And the works of Jesus Christ are testimony to his words that they are true. And folks, all you got to do is go to the empty tomb and know he can keep his word. Amen. Jesus Christ came. You know, isn't one of the criticisms against the Bible, well, your Bible is full of errors. You guys all know the response, right? Show me one. If it's full of them, you just show me one. Well, I don't know where they are. You guys ever had that conversation? Yeah, you're not going to know where they are either. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm more excited about it than you are. Amen. I'm glad we can trust this book. Jesus Christ came. We know he came. We know he's coming again. Amen. And he came to a city of misery. Amen. I'm so glad he came. People responded. Notice what the Bible says back in our text, John chapter 12. Look at verse 9. The Bible says this. It says, much people of Jews therefore knew that he was there. The Bible says, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Listen, they responded, some of them just with curiosity. And I will tell you this, responding with curiosity is good. And I think about this. You remember how the early invitations happened? Anybody know the last invitation in the Bible? The Spirit and the bride say, come. It's Revelation 22:17. And so the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so, if you will, it's an invitation. Come and see. Come and see. We know what you've heard, and we know what the people have told you have happened. Come and see. What was the very first invitation for the apostles? Well, folks, it was the same thing. Go to John chapter 1, please, if you will. John chapter 1. Look at verse 41. John chapter 1, verse 41. Let's go to verse 39. Anyhow, they're following John. They heard his preaching, amen. They get pointed to Jesus Christ. And verse 39, the Bible says this, and he saith unto them, come and see. They came and they saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, folks, what was John's job? It was to prepare a way for Christ. And so he was preaching, this is being fulfilled, and this is being fulfilled, and the Christ is on the horizon, and he's coming, amen. God's getting ready to fulfill his promise, amen. And so if you will, God is taking, and he is fulfilling, keeping his word. And Andrew says, I believe it. And he goes and he finds his brother. And you know what he says? He says, come and see. And then they went and they found James and John. And they said, come and see. And then they went and they found Philip. And they said, come and see. And they said, let's go find Nathaniel. And they said, come and see. Why? Because listen, folks, just out of sheer curiosity, I got to tell you something. Anybody here a sinner before you got saved? Me too. And I was thinking about this the other day because we had one of our teachers, our high school English teachers, died this last week. And she didn't like me none. I was what was known as a discipline problem. Amen. And to be quite honest with you, I kind of wished that I could have met her after God saved me. Because, listen, ask my wife, does she like me? She did not like me, okay? Matter of fact, she saw my mother-in-law in the store, and she said, yeah, my daughter's getting ready to marry Mark Bradshaw. And she went, why? She did. She didn't like me. Man, I wish I could go back and say, you know what, I grew up. Some of y'all might not believe that, but I have. Maybe she could have said, what made the difference? And I could have said, yeah, I tried all the things of the world and that didn't work. And then one day somebody told me about Jesus and I believed on him. He changed my life. And the thing that's funny is hated English class. And now all I do is work with words. That's true. I was thinking about that last week. I said, I wish she could have seen me. And I could have said, come and see the one that changed my life. Amen? Just out of sheer curiosity, if you can make that squirrely kid grow up. Amen? There might be something to that Christianity thing. Amen? Verse 9, just out of sheer curiosity, people responded. Some came with genuine faith. Know what the Bible says in verse 12 back in our text, John 12:12. The Bible says this. It says, and the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. We'll get to that here in a second. He says, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. And so, if you will, the Bible says that some came with genuine faith. Now, I want you to think about this. All the members of the nation of Israel were responsible to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. It is possible, some people estimate 3 million people showed up for this feast. Okay? Now, folks, most of them are in Jerusalem. Y'all with me? But some people heard about Jesus and Lazarus and they said, let's go to Bethany. Y'all remember that? And so when Jesus is coming, by the way, anybody want to guess where Bethany is in relationship to Jerusalem? Well, let's see, it's to the east. And see, he came, and as he was approaching unto Jerusalem, by the way, that's Mount Zion. That's where the King of Israel reigns. And they came, and they said, that's the King of Israel. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Those are professions of faith, folks. Amen. Thou art the Son of David. Y'all with me? And the Bible says, Jesus says, it's time. By the way, remember when they tried to make him a king before this? He said, I didn't come here to be a king. But he did have to offer himself as a king. I've preached this before, and if you want to study it out, I believe that you will see this. But they could have calculated this to the day. Because they had, remember, 70 weeks of years? and you had 7 weeks, and then you had 60 in 2 weeks, and then the Bible says Messiah would be cut off. And they could have said, Messiah's going to be here. And they could have counted from that thing. And they could have said, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day. And they could have counted it off. And they could have said, Messiah is supposed to be here. And Messiah comes and he says, I'm here. By the way, who is responsible for have that knowledge? Think about it. The chief priests and the Pharisees. Think about it. But who was it, if you will, that was laying out the palm branches saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were crying out that he was their king from fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Listen, everybody knew it. And I mean, they didn't understand it then. They understood it later. But they could have understood it if they were really looking for the Messiah to come. Amen? This is just a thought. I've never ridden an unbroke horse. And I'm going to let you know a little secret. I'm not volunteering to either. I don't know an unbroke burro. Does anybody know? Would that be a, huh? Would that be a bad thing too? You remember when they sent back the Ark of the Covenant and they said, take two milk kine, that means two cows that have had calves, and leave the calves back here. And if the cows just take off and go straight, you know it's of the Lord. And the Bible says they went lowing as they went, meaning we know where our calves are, but we got to go this way. Y'all with me? I think about that unbroken. Because the Bible says no man had ever ridden on it. It's in all four Gospels, amen? And so go back and read it. And no man had ever ridden it. But folks, when they put their coats on there, by the way, what they're saying is, we're under your authority, King. It's the same way as saying, you're the king. Y'all with me? And they put their coats down. And then when they couldn't put any more for a saddle, they began to shed them in front of him that they could take and he could walk in. And they're saying, there's our king. There's our king. There's our king. And why did they believe it? Because he walked to a tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Do you realize the people crying out, Hosanna, were the ones that knew about Lazarus being risen from the dead? That's exactly what that is. First time I ever saw it in my life. And I just looked at that, and they're crying out. And so Jesus came, and he made a difference, and some believed. Praise God. But the problem is others were energized to destroy him because of that. How many of y'all are glad to be saved? How many of y'all have people in your life who are not glad you're saved? Isn't that odd? You knew me for a while. You really think I would have made it this far living the way I was? There's no way. There's no way. Would I have all my grandchildren? All right, this is a tough question here to see what she really believes. Would we still be together? Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Amen. How could you be unhappy about that? How could you be unhappy about God saving a man's soul, transforming his life, giving him abundantly above all that he could ask or think? And I say, I want you to have it, and all you got to do is trust Christ just like me. And have somebody else say, if I do that, they're going to take my nation in my place. Amen? Because if you see, again, the people did respond. Some responded with curiosity, some with genuine faith, but some, I'll come back to the others. Some became witnesses of the truth. Notice this. This is interesting. Go to verse 16. The Bible says, say it with me, these things understood not his disciples at the first. Meaning this, they didn't understand what they were talking about, but they were witnesses. Okay? We were talking about this yesterday a little bit, about being a good soul winner or being a good teacher. Okay? Please take this the right way. Please take it the right way. I'm probably a far better teacher than I am a soul winner. Far better. Okay? Why? Because I make it too hard. Have you ever seen a young kid who just got saved and all of a sudden they're inviting people to church, and by the way, people will come. You know what I'm talking about? Man, that kid didn't know anything about the Bible.
Well, please take this the right way. I bet he's got the joy of his salvation. Amen. You remember Jesus was in the temple one day and there was a blind man. And he says, you want to be healed? He says, yeah, I want to be healed. And he says, go. And he got his sight back. Amen. But he didn't know who healed him. And everybody's saying, were you born blind? Were you born blind? You know? And they went to his parents and they said, was your son born blind? They said, he's an adult. Ask him. Meaning what? They knew that they were getting thrown out of the synagogue if they answered Christ did it. And so they came to the man. They said, was it Jesus that did this? By the way, can you be mad that a man who had never seen was now seeing? And he said, give glory to God. He says, this man's a sinner. And he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. He says, but I know this, wherein I was blind, now I see. He didn't know nothing about theology. You know what he knew? He knew his testimony. Amen. I was blind and now I see, and Jesus Christ did it. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about theology. I'm going to lose every argument you have with me from the Bible, but I know this. I was a sinner. Jesus saved me. I'm going to heaven when I die. That's it. Amen. Please take this the right way. If Jesus comes into your life, say what you know. Don't worry about having all the answers for everybody. Hey, listen, if you want to argue about theology, argue. Go find somebody who can do it with you. I know this. I was a sinner. I've been saved, and I love Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Listen, don't stay there. Don't be a babe. Grow up. Amen. But listen, if that's all you got, they had their testimony. What about the woman at the well? You know what her testimony was? This is the woman at the well's testimony. Come see a man, told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Come on now, amen? I mean, that's literally her testimony. Her testimony was, listen, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. He's the Christ. I've trusted him. He gave me living water, amen? And later they came and they said, we came and we saw. We don't believe because of your word. By the way, you can't believe because of somebody else's testimony. But we believe now because we heard his words and we've seen and we too believe. Praise God. I would love to see the reunion of the woman at the well and the people she's impacted. Some men who had to be ashamed. Amen. And yet her love for them, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Oh, what a gracious thing to do. We see here that they bear record of what they knew. And then as their understanding grew, they were able to explain more. Look what it says in verse 16. I love this verse. The Bible says at the very end, I'll just read it all. It says, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, say it with me, then remembered. Y'all see that? Hey, he did say that he was going to do that. Hey, he did preach to us about that message. Amen. By the way, think about how many times he asked his disciples, do you understand what I've told you? Yay, Lord, we understand. They didn't have the first clue. They didn't. Until after he rose from the grave, and he went, oh. Christian, I got to ask you a question. I think I heard a testimony to this effect even this morning. Is sometimes the Bible just theology to you? Until it becomes practical and it becomes real and God does something for you. And then you go, I get it. Get it. There's some times that we take and we say, I understand all things, Lord. Oh, good. Well, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and I'm going to raise again. Meet me in Galilee. Not one of them left for Galilee. I preach that, right? Amen. Later, of course, they believed. Amen. Folks, theology is more than just understanding how to dot your I's and cross your T's. There's what's called practical theology, where you put into use what God teaches you. And I think sometimes, I'm guilty too, we have a head knowledge, but we don't really have a heart or an experience or an eye knowledge. And maybe we'll see it in other people, but how often do we see it in us? Amen? When Jesus comes, we see that people respond, some with curiosity, some with faith. Some become witnesses. By the way, we can understand, I want you to see this, we can understand all things by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand that God created, y'all with me? All right, you're going to have to turn there, because I can't quote it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Y'all with me? How many of y'all believe God created it all? All right, having said that, you know, some people have to laboriously prove that there's an intelligent designer, and they have to talk about the stars, and I got a whole bunch of nerdy stuff in this message you guys don't want to hear this morning. But I will tell you this, you can take and you can prove with the stars, you can prove how old the earth is, and you can talk about the complexity of the cells, and you can take and you can learn, you can study, you can say, oh, there's got to be a God. Or you can read the book, and the Bible says, in the beginning, please take this the right way. If you can believe that verse, the rest of it's easy. The rest of it's easy, in the beginning, God. And so if you will, we see here that some people responded. Then enemies reacted. Look what the Bible says in verse 19 back in our text. John chapter 12, verse 19. The Bible says this. It says, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. You know, they raised a new and different crowd to demand action concerning their king just a week later. What did this crowd do? Hosanna on the highest. They're praising. Here's our king. Amen. Because they were believers. And folks, after that, they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And they said, we have no king but, remember? We have no king but Caesar. Amen. Wasn't that a wonderful choice? They said, we don't want this man ruling over us. We want Jesus. We want Jesus to be dead. We want him to be gone. And we want Caesar to be our king. And folks, it wasn't, let me do the math here. It wasn't less than 40 years later, Caesar came and took everything they had. He took Jerusalem. He took their temple. He took their citizenship. He took their freedom. Come on, he took everything. Why? Because they said, we won't have this man. And God said, okay, I'll give you the man you asked for. Amen. Help me now. What do you think their state was after that? I think it was misery. And how long were they in it? Folks, I did the math. They were in it for 878 years. They were in misery for 878 years because they didn't get their nation back until 1948. Are y'all with me? The whole point is this, is they didn't get back what they wanted until, well, they were long dead and long gone. Y'all with me? We see that the enemies reacted. They didn't realize that they were pursuing their own doom. Now, I want you to think about this for a second here. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible talks about this competition between God and Satan. And the Bible says that Satan, as a serpent, is going to bite his heel. Woohoo! Victory! I mean, think about it. If a snake is going to take and get you, I mean, that's victory, isn't it? Gotcha! The only problem is, what does that do for all the other snakes? You guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Now, nobody here wants to get bit by a snake, right? But there are some good snakes. Now, let's hear the groan. There are some good snakes. There are. And I'll prove that to you with every dead black racer that people kill with a shovel because, snake! And yet that snake is keeping rats and mice out of your house and out of your garage. Y'all with me? Get a hold of this. It's a reaction to being hurt. Amen? And Satan, gotcha! And the Lord went, got you. Because you're going to get me in the heel. I'm going to get you in the head. Y'all with me? I just want you to think about this. All these people that attack Jesus Christ for whatever reason, because they want their nation and their place, are going to lose everything. And that one shot where they made you look foolish and they proved something against you and you didn't have an answer for them. And come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Ha, 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 we win! Yeah. Until they die and they stand before that very God who loved them and died for them. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. The sad truth is people gaining the whole world and losing their own soul. Last thing is the Gentiles were drawn. Anybody know another name for Gentiles? Another name for Gentiles is nations or heathen. Now, do you have a good view of heathen? And please take this the right way. The Gentiles came, they said, we would see Jesus. And Jesus said, I got other things to do now. We'll look at that next week, okay? But the whole point is this, is Jesus would get to them in time, okay? Now, as I think about this, and he did, I'm running out of time, so let me move ahead. He had salvation business to take care of first. Go to chapter 12, look at verse 32, okay? He says this, he says, and if I be, you guys know it, what's it say? I be what? I lifted up from the earth will draw all men unto me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if I go to the cross, I'll take care of you. But I got to go to the cross, okay? My whole point is this, is Jesus Christ took care to take and provide for salvation, but he wasn't where he didn't care. It kind of looks like he ignores these people. But if you think about it, he got around to them. You remember Philip? There's a man reading the Bible out in the desert. Go find him. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I accept some man guide me? And at that verse, he takes and he preaches Christ to him. He gets saved, baptizes him. Hey, man, that guy was a Gentile. Y'all with me? How about Peter and Cornelius? He's staying in his house, amen. And he takes and the Gentiles get saved. They get the Holy Spirit, if you will. It's confirming the fact that they're part of the body, if you will. And so he uses Peter and Cornelius. And then later, he uses Paul and Barnabas, amen, to take and to see the salvation of these people, if you will, who are miserable. And they needed Jesus. Amen. Well, please take this the right way. Folks, we're living in a world of misery still today. Bethany is the house of misery. I saw this last week. I'll give you these two illustrations and I'll be done. And we're living in a world today. We was talking amongst some of my preacher friends and we're talking about some of us have daughters over 17 that need husbands. And one of them said they're getting harder to find. I'm going to let you a little secret. We still have boys in this world. Boys and girls. Okay. The problem is to have a wife, you need to become a man. Amen. And the problem with our men today is too many of them are playing video games to have time to get a wife. Please take this the right way. But that's miserable. Young ladies who are ready and they have prepared themselves don't have a proper candidate because a boy is still wanting to be a boy instead of growing up and becoming the man he needs to be to bring the next generation of people into this world, to be the next leaders in the church, to be the next leaders in our society. Come on now, amen? There's a reason why every time you go to a preacher's meeting, the average age is getting older and older and older. They asked how many preachers are above the age of 43 and about 80% of us raised our hands. They said, how many of y'all are younger than 43? And just a handful, maybe 5 or 10, raised their hands that they were under 43. Can I just tell you this? We're in a miserable state, folks. I was looking at a picture of a young lady that they showed her before picture when she had given herself over to drugs and that type of lifestyle, and how that she looked a year later after being saved. And she went from being this you can imagine, right? To this beautiful Christian young lady. They had a picture of a young man who was a trans. And he had the makeup and he had the wig and he had the lipstick and he had the effeminacy, if you will. And they had the before picture. And he said, this is what you look like when Christ touches your life. And I'm going to let you in a little secret. Every one of those people walking around with the makeup trying to be something that they're not are miserable. People who spend all their day playing video games are going to be miserable. People who give themselves over to the drugs and the diversions of this world are miserable. And you know what they need? They need Christ to come. And the only way he's going to come is for us Gentiles to continue in that tradition, where now that Jesus Christ has been lifted up in our lives, we go and we witness to a lost and dying world, making a difference while we still have a chance. And folks, if it worked then, it'll work now. And would to God that we wouldn't just sit here and go, that's true, amen. But we would say, God, what part do you want me to have in it? Who do you want me to speak to? Who can I make a difference in? And have that type of response here this morning. Let's all stand. What number? 204. Number 204. If God's
touched your heart, you want to come pray for somebody, the altars are open. The invitation is from him. You come as we sing.